In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our first lesson as we continue our readings from the book of Acts in this Easter season. Today we read again as we did last week in the second chapter, again reading verse 14 and then continuing this week with verse 36. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen and reigning Savior, dear fellow redeemed, a common cause brings people together. Think of those words in the context of your own families. A birthday, a funeral, an anniversary, or some other type of celebration or get-together is the cause that brings families together. And those celebrations unite family members. Think of how we feel when we get together at those things. My wife Nan and her brother are planning just such a get-together this summer so that we can all celebrate my mother-in-law's 90th birthday. Is there on your calendar, perhaps, a family reunion planned where you'll meet and come together with other members of your family and perhaps wear brightly colored T-shirts? But now think about this in a more serious way in connection to the family of faith. What's the common cause that has brought us together in the church? What is it that unites us in spite of all of our differences? Why did we gather together this morning? What have we come to gather around? What is the thing that we go on the outside of like spokes around a hub? The answer to all those questions is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel as it comes to us in word and as it comes to us in sacrament. Peter used that means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament, 10 days after Jesus bodily ascended into heaven with the promise that one day he would return to take us to be with him where he is. That gospel is that Jesus Christ died and was raised again to life as both Lord and Christ. That is the message that Peter shared, as do we. And the results are this. The church expands and enjoys the blessing of unity. But see, first of all, that the word and sacrament create the expansion. And secondly, the word and sacrament bind the community together. Having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, St. Peter wasted no time, and he got right to work, preaching the crucified and risen Christ to the crowds in Jerusalem. Last week's first lesson from Acts 2 ended with these words of Peter. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. That statement sets the stage for the therefore that begins our lesson today. Therefore, Jesus' resurrection means that the Father has exalted Him over all things as both Lord and Christ. The Apostle Paul did not mince words, but spoke plainly to the unbelievers in the crowd who were hearing his words. He spoke very plainly to them and said, "You crucified Christ. You are responsible for his death." That solid preaching of the law cut them to the heart. Literally, it stung their hearts. We even use that kind of picture today, don't we? When someone gives a stinging rebuke to us for something we have done, we say, "Oh man, that cut me right to the heart. That really stings when you are rebuking me for that." The Holy Spirit used the law and uses the law to create and bring godly contrition. Ungodly contrition is that weeping and wailing of the women that we heard about a few weeks ago. Godly contrition is that recognition of the guilt of our transgressing God's holy will and realizing that that means my eternal damnation. Peter had preached the law, and that law had done its purpose by the Spirit's use and had cut them to the heart in godly contrition. And now they cried out in that contrition, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter preached the law to prepare their hearts for the gospel in word. And now he preached that gospel in word, and the Lord expanded the church as that word worked the very repentance that it calls for. In one powerful swoop of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Peter invited them, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." And here repentance is used in the broad sense of both contrition and faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us, and accept is not really the best word here, but those who welcomed his words or received his words with joy by the Spirit's working were baptized. That promise was for them and for their children. In one great miraculous action, by the gospel and word, the church expands. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Some refer to this incident as the birth of the New Testament church. Others refer to it as the expansion of the New Testament church. Doesn't matter. Either way is correct. Because it is the Word, the Gospel in Word, that expands the church. Nothing has changed. The Holy Spirit still continues to expand the church through the Gospel in Word and Sacrament. Like that invitation to any family gathering that goes out to us, the Holy Spirit carries out in the Gospel that invitation of the Gospel to repent. That is, to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That Gospel goes out to those who are cut to the heart, whose hearts are stinging in their guilt and fear of their sins. And the Gospel creates the very thing to which it invites us and calls us. Paul writes to the Romans, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Our mission and purpose as witnesses with Peter of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to share that Gospel in Word. And God will expand His church according to His plans by His power through His Word. It is our mission and ministry to echo Peter's invitation to those cut to the core over the guilt of their sins. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the Word and Sacrament don't only gather and expand the church. Word and Sacrament bind the community together. As we see in the last part of our text, what took place there on Pentecost. In order to really appreciate what happened here, don't forget that all these people in Jerusalem were from all different countries. They spoke all different languages. They were from all different customs and cultures. And yet, now they were united in spite of all their differences. They had that one thing that united them, that hub around which they were the spokes of the wheel. And it is the same thing that we do. That hub is the Gospel of Christ in Word and Sacrament that works faith and love. And that faith and love that's worked by the Gospel manifests itself in devotion to these other things that Luke mentions. The Bible tells us that these new believers were devoted, or they devoted themselves. Literally, they made a regular practice of following the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They witnessed the miracles that were done by God through the disciples. All the believers were together and had everything in common. That doesn't mean they were communists that didn't own any private property, like in some hippie commune. It meant that in their hearts, they were willing to give, to sell even some of what they had in order to provide for one of their fellow Christians who was in need. The believers were united in public worship in the temple courts. They met together regularly for the breaking of bread. This was a common expression that referred to Lord's Supper. But it also applies to the fellowship meals which they enjoyed. Did you notice we heard that expression when Jesus was with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? That Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread and distributed it? That wasn't Lord's Supper. That was a fellowship meal, a together meal that they were enjoying. They joined together in prayer, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. They came together and in their different cultures and languages praised God for His salvation in Christ. And their joy and their charity was so manifested from their hearts that now basked in the forgiveness of Christ that all the other people in Jerusalem noticed it. It had an effect on them as they saw these Christians, these people who belonged to the way, living their lives anew now in that love and faith. What unites us? What binds us? What is the thing with all of our differences, culturally, historically, with our opinions or our attitudes about politics or some other earthly things? What brings us all together and unites us? What is our common cause and the hub of our existence, not only as the body of Christ, but as a congregation, as a member of a synod? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and sacrament. That's what we have in common. That unites us. And that faith and love that gospel works makes us devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It makes us come together and gather with joyful hearts, praising God. And as we do that, we will enjoy the favor of our community, of those around us. We are a family in Christ. The invitation of the gospel of our Savior's cross, His empty tomb, and His ascension into heaven, where He rules all things as Lord in Christ, creates our family and unites our family together. The Word and the sacrament bring us together and bind us together as we join to regularly celebrate the feast of the victory of our God. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me in reviewing and confessing our beliefs as Christians as we unite in the Nicene Creed on page 31 of Christian Worship. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son together worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.